Myself and Martin went along to Richmond Park to watch Dundalk play in the Leinster Senior Cup final, which we had been trying to hype up for the entire week. Proved to be a really interesting encounter. We did some live recordings at halftime and full time, and then we also had a chat the following day about the game and also the ongoing drama in the boardroom in O'Riel Park. I hope you enjoy the episode.
Well, it's half time at the Leinster Senior Cup final, and in many ways it's been game of the season. Martin, what do you make of it so far?
Yeah, well, 2-0 up after 10 minutes. We couldn't have wished for a better start than that against one of the Premier League's best defences as well, you know, who seem to have their first 11 out, you know, give or take. Very good stuff for so far.
We've been kind of bigging up the Leinster Senior Cup because, you know, it genuinely is an undervalued part of Irish footballing heritage. There's not very many people at it. There's about 50 Dundalk fans have travelled, and there's probably maybe about three or four times that. Atmosphere around the ground was not exactly buzzing. When you walked up to Richmond Park, it kind of looked like there was nothing happening. But it's been an entertaining game despite all that.
It certainly has been. I mean, no shortage of chances at either end. You'd say that Dundalk have sort of lived on the edge a few times. But yeah, it's been very entertaining so far. A very open game. I wasn't exactly sure which Dundalk players we'd see when we came out here. I thought, you know, some of the players might be already on holidays or out of contract and this kind of thing. But we've seen, I think, most of the first 11 out and about. And yeah, they certainly made hay inside the first 10 minutes. After that, bit of a rear guard action. I think, you know, Pats have bossed the possession and, you know, have knocked it about fairly comfortably a bit. But at the same time, there's been plenty of chances for Dundalk too. Just before half time, I think Owen Kenny probably should have had a third. There's been a couple of, you know, half chances here and there as well. You know, I think we're well in this game at the moment and could be going back up the M1 with the trophy if all goes well.
Yeah, like, I mean, the first goal, for those of you who didn't get to see it, we have a sublime ball from Keith Ward from deep, which is put into the right channel. And we've got then a Dundalk player running onto it. I think it was Owen Kenny, cuts inside, centres the ball, and we have a very neat finish from Harry Groom. And, you know, the 1-0 lead after about 4 minutes was well deserved. And then Rowan Vaughan, second, is again, he's put straight through, and he's, you know, one on one in a foot race with the defender, gets to it first and finishes neatly. And thereafter, we had a couple of other chances, not just the Owen Kenny chance, but Rowan Vaughan got another one on one. That was about the first 15 minutes of the game when Dundalk were dominant, and thereafter I think it's been mostly about absorbing Pat's pressure.
Yeah, and I think Rowan Vaughan up against Sean Hoare, who we would have admired for a long time as, you know, a big strong centre-half, fairly quick as well, but he showed him a clean pair of heels for the second goal, and since then as well has given him a fairly, you know, sort of tough time throughout the game. Now the Dundalk back four as well, I think, have had a fairly busy evening so far, but they've, you know, held out apart from the one goal that they've conceded so far. But, you know, generally speaking, there's been a lot of last-ditch defending. But it's still made it to halftime.
Yeah, like, our goal was a little bit disappointing in that it seemed to be going out of play. And one of our defenders, in defending it, rather than letting it go, sort of seemed to tee it up for the Pat centre forward. Was that kind of how you saw it?
Yeah, it did look like one. There was like a long ball from the right across to the back post. I'm not entirely sure who's playing at right back for us tonight. I think one of the younger underage lads. And instead of, I think, probably the ideal was heading it out for a corner, decided to try and head it back into play, but didn't get much distance on it, and so it falls about 6-7 yards out. Reasonably good finish from the Pats player to score it, but, you know, that was a blood on the copybook. There's been a few other times I think Safa N'Gol has been exposed a bit by some ropey defending, but you'd expect, you know, the Pats attack to have some quality to it as well. And I think he's performed some minor heroics. There's been a few clearances off the line and things like that, so there's more goals in this one.
Yeah, well, hopefully it'd be great to see Dundalk kind of maintain their lead in the second half and finish the season with another trophy, but we'll just have to wait and see. But that's all for the first half of the Leinster Senior Cup final. Well, we've been hyping it up all week. Did the Leinster Senior Cup live up to your expectations?
I mean, absolutely, and more so. Going home with another trophy in the cabinet. 2-1 away win against Premier Division opposition for the first time in a while. I think we'll all be satisfied with that.
Now, my point was, this is a very old competition. and it's got a lot of heritage, but it has really slipped down the food chain so that it's kind of become, well, almost a joke to some people. Today's game actually had a lot. We had red cards, we had missed penalties, we had goals, we had outstanding performances from players. I think Norman Garbutt in particular stood out tonight as putting in a good shift at a kind of unusual position of seemingly a left-sided centre half. What do you think of Norman, and what do you think of any of the other players who maybe got to shine tonight?
Yeah, well, we said he looked a bit like Paolo Maldini down the left tonight, where he had Jake Mulroney for company, I think, most of the time, and the two of them had a right battle down that side. But he won the penalty in the second half, which unfortunately Keith Ward went on to miss. But he had a fine game, really, I think. And in behind him, Sami Safai, I think, was man of the match, and deservedly so. I think he took off three or four really excellent saves in the first half, and probably the same again in the second half. You know, a lot of one-on-ones. Stephen Kenny has said this Pat's team are struggling for goals, and you can see what he means when you looked at that game, because they had, you know, probably double figures number of chances from, you know, inside the 18-yard box, but Sami Safai was in the way every time.
He was really outstanding, and it must be it's going to be a really kind of special night for him, because he gets a medal, gets man of the match, hasn't played for us at all this season. He's a name that we've just seen on the squad list, but never really got an opportunity in any of the other competitions. But he was outstanding tonight, as you said. So I suppose that wraps up the season. We won't have an open top bus parade for the Leinster Senior Cup, but as we've said, I think it's a trophy that deserves a lot more acclaim, not just because we've won it, but because it's an old trophy that doesn't seem to have much of a place in the calendar. And I think, you know, we probably should make more of a fuss about it than is made about it.
Well, we had two sides that put out strong teams tonight. You know, the Dundalk team was full of, you know, many of the first 11 that you would have seen week to week. And the Pat side as well, like we saw Sean Hoare, Jake Mulroney, Brandon Kavanagh, and we saw a lot of Aidan Keane as well, not hitting the target up front. But, you know, I think they put out a very strong side. They wanted to win the game, and they're still, you know, sort of towards the end of the season with a lot to play for them. So it wasn't as if these players were, you know, out of season, or it was one of these pre-season games, you know, where nobody was taking it seriously. Like, that was a very serious competition. The only thing you'd be a bit disappointed with was, you know, they went down to 10 men. Really sort of extraordinary scenes of, you know, sort of ridiculous violence out of nothing, and we still played with the backs of the wall, I think, for the last few minutes. It was a sort of rear guard effort, but, you know, everybody in the Dundalk side seemed really delighted with the performance and the trophy, and so yeah, I think a good result, and we'll be looking forward to next season's Leinster Senior Cup just as much.
Well, there you have it, folks. That's about it for our post-match report from Richmond Park. Not a trophy. Every Dundalk fan is making their way home very, very happy. And that's it for this season.
Welcome to episode 201 of the Men Who Save Football, the Dundalk FC Fancast. We thought the season was over, but it wasn't quite. We had tried to hype up the most under-the-radar cup final probably in Europe, if not the world, which was the Leinster Senior Cup, which we knew would appear at some point because we were in the final. And if Pats decided to turn up, that final had to be played, unlike some of the previous rounds where oppositions just withdrew for mysterious reasons. At very short notice, Dundalk FC fans were made aware that we had a final on Sunday. And for those who went, and there must have been about 50 Dundalk fans who did, they were treated to quite the spectacle, were they not?
I mean, you'd have to say, probably one of the best games of the season. I remarked right after seeing the highlights as well, which we watched back today, that, like, it was there was a lot happened right in that game. And we've borne witness to some highlights from games at Oriel Park this year, where, like, major incidents from the match just didn't appear, right, in the highlights reel and things like that, right? It was a bit of a mystery. Like, a lot of games, you really had to be there in order to understand the story of the game. But the highlights of last night's game actually show you, right, the host of drama that happened, right, from start to finish. Both teams put out, you know, pretty good sides. So I wasn't entirely sure which Dundalk members of staff would still be under contract to play. We had some interesting introductions in the second half, right? Ronan Murray, I think, physio to the first team, made an appearance off the bench, which has to go down as, like, one of the most unusual sights that you'll probably see this year. But yeah, we found a squad of, you know, 15 or 16 players to take to the pitch. Pats as well put out a pretty good side. I'm not sure if I'm familiar enough with the Pats first team to tell you, like, exactly who is normally first choice 11, but I think across the back, right, we saw Anto Breslin, Luke Turner, Sean Hoare, like,
probably imagine, like, comprises three out of their starting back four for most of the games this season. So, yeah, like, the Pats team looked pretty close to, I wouldn't say, like, a full-strength Pats team. Like, neither was it our full-strength squad either. But they had the likes of Jake Mulroney and Aidan Keenan and stuff like that, you know. So I think fairly close to, you know, regular first 11 side. And one thing that we've always been talking about on the cast this season is we're never quite sure how our squad would really fare in the Premier Division, right? What it would be like to go up against Premier Division opposition. And so our previous example during the summer was our chance to be beaten by Sligo Rovers, right? Where I think we played very well in that match. We created a host of chances, didn't take any of them. And Sligo, I think, mugged us, right? Where two moments of, you know, real quality inside the space of, you know, 3 or 4 minutes saw us, you know, go 2-0 down. And so we felt like there was a bit of a gulf there, you know. You could maybe see the difference in quality between the divisions. So last night was another opportunity really to, you know, sort of gauge that gulf. And if anything, it really looked like our squad was maybe, you know, sort of the more efficient, right, in terms of the way that the game went. So we had an opening goal from Harry Groom, right? I think the first thing about it, a really great sweeping move, right, that started, I think, in the Dundalk final third. We had Keith Ward picks up the ball, you know, sort of almost in a sort of left back, left midfield position. And he plays this fabulous crossfield pass, really, for our right back, who I'm going to be ashamed to say I don't actually know who was playing right back for Dundalk last night. But the ball is delivered into the box. There's a bit of a scramble and Harry Groom is there to, you know, sort of fire in a rebound and we're 1-0 up. So, you know, dream start for us after 5 minutes. You know, that was great to get into the lead, but more was to come. I think, again, we defend, you know, a situation fairly well. Harry Groom finds himself with an acre of space in the middle of the park. He picks a ball out over the top to Rowan Vaughan. And I think, you know, I'm not sure what goes on in Sean Hoare's head, but the ball, you know, goes over his head and he doesn't seem to really think about chasing it too much. And it's only when Rowan Vaughan gallops onto it that he suddenly seems to realise there's a danger there. And before he can do anything, it's in the back of the net and it's 2-0 to Dundalk. You know, again, dreamland stuff. It looks like we're taking on Premier Division opposition and, you know, breezing past them at this stage. Now, that wasn't really the pattern for the whole match. I think Pats came back into it and I think it's fair to say that we played with a rear guard action for, you know, most of the rest of the first half. We had our chances, right? There was a couple of breakaways where we could have gone further ahead. But I think the pattern of the ruin in the first half was, you know, Pats putting a lot of pressure on us. They got their reward before halftime where, you know, a sort of knockdown header falls into the path of, I think, Luke Turner, who was up. And there's sort of a deflected shot that goes past Safai and into the net. So a bit disappointing for us to concede that for, you know, a game where we had actually defended very well. And again, with a bit of a sort of makeshift back four for us. Like I say, I wasn't entirely sure who was playing right fullback. We had Ethan Vaughan, I think, in the middle, alongside, I think, Luke Mulligan. And then I think at left back, we had who we called, you know, the Paolo Maldini effect of Norman Garbutt. Not somebody that we were used to seeing in that position, but he played very well, you know, up against Jake Mulroney, who's, you know, a fairly accomplished Premier Division winger, and he held his own. You know, it was a great battle for most of the match.
Yeah, like the formation of the team is a little bit tricky to work out because it did seem to change quite a bit during it. I'm not sure Norman Garbutt started on the left side of a back three, but that's where he seemed to end up and play rather well. At fullback, although some of the listings give Luke Mulligan as our right back, I think it might be actually Rhys O'Hare who's involved in that Keith Ward build up to the, well, there's an exceptional Keith Ward pass. I haven't looked back at it on the highlights, but in person, it looked really kind of absolutely, he split not only one line, but two lines, totally bypassed the midfield and put the Pats rear guard on the back foot. It's just an exceptional pass. And you're thinking, again, Wardy, such a club legend. This perhaps, hopefully not won't be, but this perhaps could be his last game. And to end it with such an amazing, not quite an assist, but such a defence-splitting pass that goes on to set up a really good goal and put us in the lead was just kind of a great contribution from Keith Ward, who was partnered in the centre midfield by Andy Parashev. And maybe it was because the pressure was off a little bit, albeit still a cup final.
Him and Parashev, which you thought might have lacked a little bit of bite in normal times for the league, actually, the game was a really good game, and there was a lot of passing and possession from both sides. And I think if people do look back at the highlights, and they should, you know, they'll be surprised by the absolute amount of chances, goal-mouth scrambles, disallowed goals, red cards. There was a hell of a lot of drama in the game, so it was just a hugely entertaining night of football and a great way to end the season. Now, we've kind of been bigging up the actual Leinster Senior Cup as much as we could, but we kind of are aware of its status. It was always a competition which was perhaps at least third in the order of things, maybe even fourth. I mean, when you have the league as the premier one, then we have the FAI Cup, then maybe the League Cup when it was extant, it was maybe a competition that even traditionally was a kind of pre-season warm-up competition. But below that was the Leinster Cup. So it's always been a kind of peripheral trophy. But nonetheless, to have a trophy that kind of has fallen so far in public profile, like, I mean, I look at the club website and it even hasn't even been updated to say that we've won it. Not a great deal of media coverage. In the podcast affair and social media, there was sort of an ironic coverage. Between the Stripes, which is kind of a very, very good podcast, it sort of tweeted yesterday saying, in case you guys don't know, the Leinster Senior Cup is on today. And, you know, that's kind of where the competition is as regards status. But for those of us who kind of went out to see it, I think we got full value for money. So, I mean, what do you think it says about the status of the competition? I mean, how seriously should it be treated? And do you think that, my point is, like, a cup with so much heritage, this is a very old competition, way older than the League Cup, older than the league, in fact, and older than the FAI Cup. Do you think it's a kind of symptom of the way in which, you know, the heritage of the game is somewhat undervalued at times, even by our own fans and our own association?
Yeah, well, I mean, in defense of the Leinster Senior Cup, I don't think the club website has been updated to say that we won the league yet. So I don't think it's been devalued, like, sort of deliberately by the club in that respect. But yeah, I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of competition for attention, right? And, you know, fans and supporters and stuff like that only have so much money to, you know, go around and attend games around the country and stuff like this. So I think understandably, like, fitting it into a very busy schedule and trying to get people's attention behind it is, you know, to some degree a function of prize money and reward and stuff like that that is available. So as long as the FAI Cup and the League Cup and things like that had potentially European places up for grabs and some prize money associated with it, it's, I think, inevitable that both teams and supporters would prioritise those things over everything else that that is on the fixture list. So I think, on the other hand, right, the cup itself, like, more so this season than anything else, has become a bit like a treasure chest or, you know, Easter egg, that it's one of those things that you have to do some, you have to put some effort into finding out that it's happening in the first place. Like, it wouldn't shock me to discover that, you know, at least half of the Dundalk FC fan base were not aware that we were actually playing a game last night. And certainly, you know, weren't ready to jump on a bus and go to Richmond Park. When we arrived at Richmond Park itself, like, it was very difficult to discover that there was a game on, right, the away end was sealed up, right? There was no, you know, sort of folks in high-vis gear, you know, ready to welcome you into the ground and this kind of thing. And so we had to do a bit of hunting ourselves, right, to actually discover the way into the ground to get there. So it's got this, you know, sort of slightly, you know, mystical quality to it, that, like, it's something that you have to go out and search for and find. But, you know, the reward was there. Like, we saw one of the most thrilling games of the season while we were there. We went home with the trophy. You know, it was great to see the players get to celebrate again, you know, in front of the supporters and stuff like that on a night, and an away win against Premier Division opposition. I think you might have to go back to Richmond Park in maybe July or August 2024 to find our last away win against Premier Division opposition. So, yeah, I think, you know, for people who are willing to put the effort in, right, I think the Leinster Cup has given people lots of reward.
Well, I suppose the reason I mention it is that it's not so long ago that the FAI Cup itself had fallen very much in profile and prominence. And we were finding, I suppose this might be the 90s and the noughties, cup finals were being staged, sometimes Talca Park, sometimes Dalymount Park, but there was then a kind of move to Lansdowne Road pre-redevelopment. And it's great now that the Aviva Stadium is sort of this crescendo to the season, and we tend to get tens of thousands of people going to the FAI Cup, and it's, you know, public profile has kind of been really raised. It's one of the sporting, you know, events of the national calendar now. And when in that run of cup finals that we were at, you know, it was incredibly, you know, incredibly rewarding to see simply the volume of fans who turned out, and you did have tens of thousands there, and it was a very respectable showing. But back in that era, maybe when publicity and promotion wasn't what it should have been, when the association wasn't really valuing its own heritage and promoting the game, the FAI Cup was also a little bit below the radar, and it was quite frequent to have like Lansdowne Road maybe with 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 fans, and that what should have been the showpiece of the season was actually a bit of an embarrassment. I remember one live TV broadcast of a cup final began with the television camera kind of focused on a lone Derry City fan, I think it was, letting off a smoke flare in the back row of the old East Stand. And the camera pulled back in a slow zoom to reveal that this guy was sitting in a vast sea of empty seats. And it just set this tone of absolute grimness, that this really wasn't an event of public interest. Now, there's probably a number of things have changed between then and now to make the FAI Cup a much more genuine, you know, mass, it's an event of mass public interest now. And hopefully we'll see that again when Cork play Shamrock Rovers. There will be, you know, hopefully over the 30,000, 35,000. We've seen in recent years, you know, the cup final has gotten better and better and better. Now, like I say, we have fewer of these competitions now. Dundalk seem to be, we seem to be the beneficiary of kind of clubs or competitions that become extinct as soon as we win them. The Unite the Union Cup is still sitting in Oriel Park because it hasn't been played since we won it last. I think the League Cup has more or less become a kind of a defunct competition. So in this kind of environment of attrition, you know, another point is like, it's not to be sniffed at when you have an over a century of heritage to a competition. Maybe that should be valued a little more. So maybe, you know, we can start the hype here. Maybe the Leinster Senior Cup should be a little bit more important in the sporting calendar than perhaps it has, particularly now that we're the holders of it.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of those things is I just don't know how much it is worth to the club to do that, right? We're in a, shall we say, a situation where the financials of the club are once again probably making as many headlines as, you know, the activities on the field. And there's no doubt that, you know, an extra few quid in the coffers will make a difference. So I know that the cup was sponsored by Permanent ESB this year, but I don't actually know what the fund was for the winners. But I do recall that I think the Unite the Union Champions Cup, when it was played, was worth like 100,000 euros or something like that to the club, which is multiples of what it was worth winning the league. So, you know, I think as long as you make something attractive for the clubs themselves to go and play it, I think there's at least an interest from the clubs in doing it. But, you know, I think in the last couple of weeks as well, we've seen a draw to Oriel Park, right, for the end of the season that was engineered somewhat on TikTok. You know, their sort of guerrilla campaign to get people down to the ground to see the club win the first division. And so I think, you know, there's a lot to be said for the power of social media, you know, these days in generating an interest for it. And so if we want to make, I think, the Leinster Senior Cup the hipster competition of, you know, Ireland, again, that Easter egg that the true football fan can search out for themselves and be rewarded, let it start here.
And why not? Yeah. Anyway, it's a trophy. We won it. We have a technical double. Some people say a treble if you count the Jim Malone Cup, although even for me, I think that might be pushing it a little bit too far. Nonetheless, Dundalk FC is never without drama. We thought the season was over and that all would be tranquil in the closed season. But again, we're in the headlines. And it seems to be in the boardroom, there is a fully fledged heave against the man who has sort of been in charge of the club. He's been the public face of the board, John Temple. Apparently, the American contingent of the board have issued a kind of more or less public letter saying that they wish him to sell his share in the club to them so that they can go in a sort of a different direction. What have you made of that news coverage? What have you made of, or have you heard the statements made by both parties? And how do you think this indicates stability for the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's tricky because this is an area that none of us, I think, have any direct, you know, news from, right? That everything is sort of filtered through different people's perspectives and news reports, you know, and various things like that. And so it's not surprising that we have a very incomplete picture of what's going on. So on one side, I think, yeah, there's the letter to the FAI, I think, from Chris Clinton and some of the other investors about what they are essentially demanding John Temple do. On the other hand, I think John Temple himself, right, was interviewed a couple of weeks before where I think he painted a much rosier picture, right? He was sounding confident about the club getting licensed for Premier Division football next season and, you know, sort of working towards that. We had, I think, statements from Kieran Kilduff, right, where he thanked both John Temple and Chris Clinton for their involvement and was looking forward to, you know, sort of working with them for, you know, planning for next year. And it made it sound like a very rosy picture, right? So we got these two extremes, right, about what is happening. And I think the truth is probably somewhere in the middle a little bit. You know, I can't tell you the number of times where, you know, somebody has come up to me and told me club's not going to get licensed for next season. You know, it's disaster and stuff like that. And a couple of months go by, we get the license, you know, and things carry on. And so, you know, it wouldn't be surprising if there was a couple of details that had to be worked out, you know, that we know there's problems with the floodlights. We know that there's problems with the pitch. And probably there might have to be, you know, some remedial work done in order to make what we've currently got, you know, work. But I think that clearly all is not happy behind the scenes. But it's very difficult to speculate about, you know, which perspective at the moment represents the truth or is closer to the truth.
Yeah, as ever, the inner workings of the boardroom are something of a mystery to fans. But all we know now is there does seem to be a drama. There does seem to be a kind of a dispute over who should be, I suppose, the decision maker and the majority shareholder there. And it seems that it sounded a little bit from like the public utterances that this was something of an ultimatum. And there was a comment, something along the lines of the minority shareholders will do whatever they need to do that they feel is in the best interest of the club. Again, you know, it would be nice to be going into the close season knowing that things were stable. I suppose we suspected throughout the entire year that, you know, we knew that there was serious financial problems inherited by the new regime when it was established. We didn't expect that they had vanished overnight. We knew that there was changes made behind the scenes, but without knowing whether those changes were addressing the fundamental problems, you know, we just kind of have been enjoying the results on the field of play. But once again, the off-field challenges of running a League of Ireland football club seem to have surfaced again. Now, doubtless there will be some sort of resolution to this. Either some sort of agreement and accord will be struck between those currently around the board, or the discord will continue. I suppose Dundalk FC fans will just hope that Kieran Kilduff can be given certainty and begin to build a squad. And not only even as a precursor to that, to know that Dundalk FC can do what they need to do to get a license and then build a squad accordingly for survival in the Premier Division. And I suppose until that moment, we'll all be watching this space.
Probably the most important thing is us securing a license to play next season, especially the Premier Division. After all of the hard work of the season and the number of times you've said that, you know, the First Division can become a death spiral, right, if you let it. I think getting out of that at the first attempt was, you know, so important. And so we've got to follow up, right, and make sure that that's landed. And second of all, I think retaining Kieran Kilduff, right, I think I said this on the last episode too, that, you know, I think losing him would be such a blow to the momentum that's been built. I think that would be a terrible morale, you know, sort of loss. And so I think license and locking down Kieran Kilduff, those are the things that we need to do.
Yeah, and now we could talk a great deal more about the star players from last night. For this mini episode, we might just wrap it up for there. Wish all Dundalk FC fans the best for the close season, and hopefully the club drama behind the scenes gets sorted out. And look forward to hopefully our glorious return to the Premier Division next year. But until then, it's goodbye from DFC Fancast, and we shall talk to you next season. Here for the man, this ain't the face of football, the face of football, the face of football.